Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Herr.
Sunbury Motors Studio East, as I like to call it. Sunbury Motors Studio West, locked up for the week as Steve Jones takes a little bit of a hiatus. Guest co-host, it's kind of a role reversal for us on a normal Saturday afternoon, but Doug Birdsong from the Bison Sports Network joining us on the broadcast today. Thanks, Doug, for coming in. Appreciate it.
Always happy to do it. And like you said, a role reversal, but sometimes that's a good thing.
Maybe. We'll see. Lots of stuff to talk about again today as day two of the PED scandal in baseball continues. A-Rod having a few issues last night with the fans. You can hear the one supporter in the background, Doug. That's the only one right now.
That was not me.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see if the response is a little bit different in Yankee Stadium. I suspect he'll have one or two people, at least in the background, going... But that'll be about it. I don't expect a whole lot more.
No, and I think the ongoing battle that he has with Major League Baseball, maybe even turning off a lot of the New York Yankees fans, too.
Yeah, and the one I said the last couple of days, the last 2 days, and even Friday when all this was starting to come down and we knew A-Rod was going to be involved in some sort of a suspension that right now looks like when it does come out, it'll be the rest of this year and next year when it finally does come to fruition. And I think it will come to fruition. I think the MLB has enough evidence to keep this going even through arbitration. But it's the fact that, you know, these players have gone through this now and thought about it. Some of them have taken the PEDs, tested positive. Some have not, but have, and Major League Baseball has simply said, listen, we're going to not only punish the player, but we're going to show every player that it's not an individual thing. This is going to be a team punishment as well. Some of the players, some of these all-stars are on teams that are in contention right now. Texas, and I think Texas and Detroit really get hurt the most by these particular sanctions that are coming down, the suspensions that are coming down in 50 days, because they have players that are key roles in their offense and their defensive scheme and to try and get them into the playoffs and beyond. So I think Major League Baseball is saying, listen, even if you didn't, quote unquote, shoot up, but if you thought about it and you went to a place and there's a record that you've even thought about it, we're going to end it right here, right now, and it's going to be not only a punishment for you, but a punishment for the team. And a lot of these players have never looked at it that way.
Well, I give kudos to Major League Baseball. I mean, you know, a lot of people may be on either side of the fence on this, but they have almost, if you will, just put a line in the sand, and they're saying right now, we are going to make sure that we get PEDs out of the game. You know, for a long time, and it was just mentioned with this past year's Hall of Fame class, nobody recent, because of all the PED scandals, and those folks just do not want to incorporate them into the Hall of Fame. And I don't know that you can really disagree with their motives or disagree with their decision in that regard. And I think that, as much as anything, kind of made Major League Baseball and the headquarters there say, we're going to try and, as our good friend Barney Fife would say, nip it in the bud.
Well, you know, remember when it used to be an asterisk behind a stat because they played more games? Now it's an asterisk behind a stat because you're not quite sure if they were on the up and up when they did it. They were talking about it earlier today on the Geraldo program, as a matter of fact. This story has crossed so many different lines from the sports realm into the news realm now. But one of the things they were talking about is baseball corrupt itself because of the PED scandal? I don't think it is, but you have to admit, over the last 10 years, as a fan of baseball, every time somebody does something outstanding, you wonder, oh boy, I hope he wasn't juicing up. I hope he wasn't on the roids, however you want to word it. That question is in the back of your mind.
It is, and I'm wondering just how long it's going to take before other major leagues, if you will, whether it's the NFL, whether it's maybe NBA, although a lot of people don't associate PEDs with the NBA, but don't think that they're not there. Hockey, you know, the National Hockey League, etc. how long are they, is it going to be before they start to take a stand? And I'm not too sure that Major League Baseball, in doing what they've done now, has it opened the door to say, okay, we've set the precedent. What are you going to do? And maybe the people, the public, will clamor for it.
I think the big thing is this sets the precedent to the players, too, that this, as I said, is not going to be an individual punishment. This is going to be a punishment that affects everything around you. And I think that's where a lot of the fan reaction comes in with A-Rod, because this has not been a guy that has been noted to be a team player.
No, and this certainly is not making him more of a team player, to say the least. And, too, the way he has reacted, and you can't blame him, of course. He's fighting for his salary, but the way he has reacted, I think, also has turned off a lot of the fans, and including, as I said earlier, the Yankees fans, too. We'll see what kind of response he gets. But I do believe that when it starts to hit these players in the pocketbook, they're going to say, you know, right now, to be quite honest, whatever sport, if you're in a sport that's as competitive as a major league sport or a professional sport, and you feel as if you have to do this to keep your job, if the penalties are high enough to where you are going to lose that salary and you are not going to get paid, then maybe that also, as an individual, not just as a team, as you mentioned, but as an individual, maybe that's also going to say to them, it's just not worth it.
It's hard, though, to the average fan to feel bad for A-Rod's pocket.
I'm sure he has enough that you and I would not be worrying about our salary.
I would hope. But, you know, you talk about the fans' reaction, and so far it's been kind of mixed.
I love Chicago. I love the fans here. Just a great town, great people.
And he, you know, that's the static answer you get from Rodriguez on being booed. You know, I love the fans. Like, yeah, right. Right. And the fan reaction has been mixed. I mean, obviously a lot of boos right out of the gate in his 1-for-4 night last night. But you talk to other fans, they're like, listen, you know, he tried to stay competitive. I don't think he can ban him for that long. I think the problem is not, at least as far as A-Rod's concerned, is not the PED issue. I think the issue of obstruction and trying to tamper with the investigation is more of what Major League Baseball is looking at right now. And we'll find out, as I said yesterday, with him contesting this now and going to arbitration, all this information is going to come out, and you'll find out the character of Alex Rodriguez at that point.
Well, no doubt. And then it kind of harkens back to Pete Rose, certainly a different situation, you know, gambling as opposed to PEDs. But as you mentioned, the obstruction, the continual denial of this, that's basically what Pete Rose did all the way up till a few years ago.
Right.
And then he agreed, yes, I did do that. So, yes, I think that is what Major League Baseball is going to try and grind him as much as possible on. And maybe ultimately that's what the fans are also going to say, ooh, watch out.
But I believe this is more detrimental to the sport than what Pete Rose did. And Pete Rose is serving a lifetime ban right now, and Alex Rodriguez is not. He's serving what would be a career ban. This will end his career, in essence. I don't really see him coming back after the 2014 season and signing on and playing with anybody at about 40 years old. There might be one or two teams in the American League that will throw him in as a DH and hope for the best. But here's a guy that's been on the DL an awful lot in the latter part of his career, including this year, played his first game last night. I just don't see it happening where he's going to be able to come back. But as I said yesterday, I've never thought when a pitcher threw a wild pitch and it went into the stands and it scored a run, I never thought to myself, gee, you know, I wonder if he threw that away for the bookies. But when a guy hits 40 home runs by the All-Star break, I have to sit back and think, I wonder if he's on the juice. Now, Alex Rodriguez did have a great comment. He hopes that they can start focusing on baseball soon. Yeah, right.
I don't think anybody, no matter how much you like or dislike, I don't think anybody wants to see anybody suffer. You know, I think the fans, you know, they want what's best for the game, but you know, hopefully, like I said, this afternoon, we can take a pause from all of this and start focusing on baseball, at least for a little while. There's a lot of amazing stories going on.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, Alex Rodriguez.
Lack of realism.
And to be quite honest, with Alex Rodriguez, you wonder how much the PEDs, and everybody feels like he did it, even though he's denying it. I know that many of them try and take those to enhance or extend their career. You wonder with how many injuries he's had, and I know he has played very hard. You have to give him credit for that. I wonder how much the PEDs may have broken down his system. Who knows?
Or, and the other side of that, too, is how many times has he come back because of those?
Well,
yeah, that's the other side of it as well, and that's the scary part. I think the scariest part, though, is the story that came out, and I mentioned this yesterday, a few weeks ago. I think ESPN was the one that was reporting it, that Biogenesis was actually having parents, dads, bring in their young baseball players in high school to take whatever these hormones were. I'm sorry, that's a real scary part. Now, I realize that you're not supposed to idolize baseball players. They're not mentors. You know, they may be mentors, but they're not heroes. They're not anything like that. But it's really, really, really tough to try and explain to a youngster. And I say this from a parental standpoint. And Doug, I know you're with me there. It's hard to make an explanation on why they did this and why it's not right.
I think, though, that it's the win-at-all-costs philosophy, and it Absolutely. Really does come from the parents. They being the parents, they see it on TV. They say, wow, I want my kid to grow up and be like that, or I want my kid to at least get a free college education, do whatever it takes type thing, not knowing that they may well be sacrificing the future in terms of health, et cetera, of their child.
Absolutely. You know, how much as parents are we pushing too? And that, you know, as adults, how much do these baseball players feel the need to push themselves and do things like that? But let's take a break quickly, and we'll talk a little bit of Bucknell football. Joe Susan will join us in the next half hour as well. But first, it's Above the Noise with Dan Patrick. And isn't that what it's all about in Major League Baseball right now, Doug?
Money or the lack thereof for A-Rod soon.
There'll be a lot less money in the next 200 and some odd games, that's for sure. Kevin Herr filling in for Steve Jones, Doug Birdsong, our guest co-host today. Thanks again to Doug for coming in, talking a little Bucknell Bison football in the next few minutes as well. And we are in the Sunbury Motors Studio East, Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 of 15 in Humbles Wharf. And our sponsor for the day, Kratzer Insurance. You'll find them in Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. They'll find ways to get you covered and have you save money as well. So make sure you stand together with them. Visit them at KratzerInsurance.com or visit them in Mount Pleasant Mills and in Northumberland. A few days ago, maybe about a week ago now, it was the Patriot League Media Day, Doug. And in the next few minutes, one of the things that I have to admit that surprised me was the media putting Bucknell at the bottom of the Patriot League.
Well, I think what happens typically in the preseason poll, and you've been through a number of these yourself, Kevin, it typically follows form with what the previous year's finish was. Colgate won the league last year, albeit in a last game shootout with Lehigh. Great game, too, by the way. I watched on television. And they were picked as the preseason favorite. Now, they lost a lot from last year's team. They do have the Patriot League preseason player of the year, Gavin McCarney, at quarterback back. And he was outstanding last year and in that Lehigh game, particularly the second half and even more particularly the fourth quarter of that game. But they were picked ahead of Lehigh and Holy Cross to win the league this year. And sometimes the middle part of the preseason poll gets a little shuffled. But typically, if you finish last year, you're going to be picked last again this year. If you finished first, you're going to be picked first. Again, as Coach Joe Susan said, and probably will say when we have him on the air here in just a little bit, preseason doesn't mean anything. I firmly believe with the people Bucknell has returning, 9 on offense starters that got a considerable amount of playing time last year, including starting, and 7 on defense, plus a good amount of our special teams back, I think Bucknell will be fine to prove the preseason prognosticators, as they say, wrong.
Well, Lehigh did come in today's FCS coaches poll at 17. Colgate among the top teams receiving votes in the preseason. That happened. That was actually just released just a few hours ago in the FCS preseason poll. But you know, one of the things that I think stands out, and I'm sure Coach Susan will also talk about in the next 5 minutes, will be the fact that that offensive line has had a birthday. You know, he said that a lot last year. We just need a few more birthdays. Well, they got one more from his whole team. We'll see if that helps him out along the way. Coach Joe Susan of the Bucknell Bison joining us after the news here on News Radio 1070 WKOK as we continue with the Steve Jones Show.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Herr.
should be filling in for the multilingual Steve Jones, because I am not multilingual. Monongalu? No, that doesn't work. I'll come up with a word later, Doug. Doug Birdsong in studio with us in the Sunbury Motors studio. Joining us as our guest, a guest co-host, as we talk a little Bucknell Bison football. Sunbury Motors on North 4th Street, Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Today, our show sponsored by the fine folks at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Visit them online at kratzerinsurance.com. Doug, one of the things that just happened today, I understand, or at least last night, was a signing of Vince Young to the Green Bay Packers. I was a little bit surprised, and then I came across Adam Schefter, who's the ESPN insider for the NFL, and he kind of gave a little bit of insight on why they may have signed
him. They have had some sort of intrigue and interest in Vince Young dating back to last season. They considered signing Vince Young last season, before camp, and finally went ahead and made plans to do it now and to bring him in to give him a chance. No guaranteed money, so why not take a flyer on him?
That sounds like a no-brainer. I mean, it didn't cost them anything to give it a shot.
Well, you know, Vince Young has had a storied career, obviously, in the NFL. Injuries, some weird things that happened there at Tennessee with the Titans, mental things, if you will, and he's kind of had to battle back from that. But there is no doubting that Vince Young has as much talent as anybody, maybe, that has played quarterback in the last half dozen years. The thing is, can he put it all together? You know, and certainly didn't get a ton of playing time or opportunity for playing time with the Eagles, but I don't think there's any doubting what he did at the University of Texas, what he did too in his early years there with the Titans. He can, if nothing else, provide a great look defensively as the backup quarterback.
That's what I was going to say. That's a very different look for the Packers offense than we've been, you know, that's been typical of the Packers since, well, pretty much the beginning of time.
Certainly, you know, Brett Favre certainly had mobility like Vince Young does, or did at least. We'll see if he can still show that mobility. But I think that if nothing else, he can be that backup quarterback, that scout team quarterback if need be at times, to be able to give the Packers defense a good look. And, you know, in the NFL, every offensive coordinator is looking for an edge, just like every defensive coordinator is. And so many have introduced those wildcat packages with different quarterbacks and different players, whether they're quarterbacks or not, running that position. And, you know, he has that capability, if nothing else, to at least give your defense a good look in practice.
Well, and this is an NFL now where money has to be spent wisely, and trying to find a veteran backup is not an easy thing to do. I mean, you look at, Doug, you're a Washington Redskins fan. You're very lucky to have the quality quarterbacks right now that you do. How long can a team like that sustain young quarterbacks that have so much potential and be able to afford to keep them on the same roster? And right now we're seeing a lot of older quarterbacks become backup quarterbacks or glorified quarterback coaches.
Well, exactly. And I think you've seen the last couple of years, sometimes to the detriment of the fans of a variety of different teams in the NFL, that these quarterbacks have moved on because they are tired of being backups and they want their opportunity to shine wherever that may be. It probably started with the Chiefs, and being a backup to Tom Brady, you know, it can only go for so long. But I think you're seeing that from a lot of different players, quarterbacks in the NFL. And, you know, I think it probably starts in some degree with the agents, who are the men who kind of tell these quarterbacks, hey, you're better than this. You're better than being a backup. You've shown what you can do when you've had spot duty as the starter, wherever it may be. And so you're right. I think for a while, it's going to be a situation where a lot of these backups aren't wanting or will not want to be backups in the future.
Eagles making some news today in preseason NFL. Riley Cooper returned to training camp today. That was fast.
That was very fast. I didn't expect that.
Simple as that. That's all. That was the first thing that popped into my head, was that was quick.
The question is, you know, is he going to be healthy? Yeah, who knows?
Well, yeah, I mean, and what kind of a... what kind of an atmosphere is it right now in Philadelphia? This, you know, it's funny. This is the first year that they've had camp outside of Lehigh. So now they're back in Philadelphia, not in the quote-unquote dorms at Lehigh. That may be the best thing right now for the Eagles. That could have been a brilliant move now for the Eagles because of all the added media attention that would be in Lehigh because of being a more quaint atmosphere.
Well, yeah, but, you know, when I talk about being healthy, I mean the mental aspect.
Oh, absolutely.
There is no doubt that there has been a lot of pressure weighed on this young man, and you got to see how he's going to respond, how his teammates are going to respond. Some of them haven't necessarily responded in the right way, but, you know, I think that Vic kind of took the high road. And I think if you're going to be a leader on that team, you need to do that if you're expecting Riley to come in and be able to produce at some capacity here this year for the Eagles.
And LeSean McCoy kind of went a little bit in the other direction.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not blaming him at all. No. I understand. You know, he said he forgave him, but was still hesitant. I can understand that. I mean, I give him credit for his honesty. But you're right. I mean, Michael Vick knows the situation he's in. And when you're quite honestly, when you're in a quarterback battle, I don't care how small of a battle it might be. Right now, you want to show every bit of leadership capabilities you have. And I think it was a smart move by Vick.
I think it was a smart move by Vick. But in terms of LeSean McCoy, maybe not a bad move on his part. The problem is, and I think it happens because of we in the media, we try and press because of a 24/7 cycle to
Absolutely.
Get comments from everybody. Is that something that you really want to comment to the public? You can comment it to Riley Cooper. You can comment it to your team in a team gathering. But do you really want to make that public? Now, what Vic did, I think you can make public that. And then maybe Vic, to Riley Cooper's face, says something entirely different.
Right.
I think in that case, that's where LeSean McCoy, you got to, you know, wonder. And that can,
well, he's been known to
well,
speak
course.
His opinion. You
of
know.
Course. And there are a lot now with Twitter and every other way to get your name out, your word out, your thoughts out. There are a lot of ways to mess things up pretty quickly.
You know, Doug, that leads us to another topic here with, and we talk about it all the time here on the Steve Jones Show, and that's Twitter. You know, Steve feels as though Twitter should be banned, especially at the college level, from all players, at least during the season or, you know, maybe period. And I think there's a point to that. I think it's going to be very difficult at a high school level to be able to do that and monitor it as a high school coach. But what has been talk about it from a Patriot League standpoint, Doug, and the coaches that you know in the Patriot League. How have they handled the Twitter atmosphere in the FCS level, which isn't necessarily as much media attention as FBS?
I believe that every coach, no matter where they are, whether it's Ivy League, Patriot League, or, you know, anybody else in the FCS Southern Conference, et cetera, I believe they, at the beginning of the season, they talk with their players and they say, guys, you have to think before you post anything. And that's not just with Twitter, but Facebook or anything else that is out there, because once it goes out into cyberspace, it's there permanently. It's not something that is easily apologized for. And unfortunately, I think either A, people fly off the handle before thinking, or B, they allow their own thoughts to be known. And that can be something that could be, again, detrimental to a team to an nth degree.
Well, I think every player, no matter what level you're in, or any person for that matter, on Twitter, you need to remember one thing. It's not just a tight-knit group of friends that are following you. It is anybody, anyone, any age, anywhere following you for numerous reasons. So it's not like you're going to say, oh, man, I really had a bad day today. I tweaked my ankle. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to play on Saturday. That's a conversation you may have in the dorm with the person you're living along with right now in the college area, university. But it is not necessarily something you want to post on Twitter. And I'm sure that makes coaches extremely nervous.
Exactly. Now, I think what we were talking about prior was, you know, saying something on Twitter, for example, that could be detrimental to the team in terms of just mouthing off.
Oh, that's a whole
like
different
that.
Thing.
That's
yeah.
a whole different. But you bring up a great point. You know, you could conceivably have someone just to say, now it can be used both ways. You can
sure.
be lying, kind of, but you just to say, oh, man, I was a little dinged up at practice today. And you better believe that there are, or there will be, if there aren't already, other schools, particularly maybe not at the FCS level, but particularly at the FBS level, that are they have people scouring Twitter to find any kind of little tidbit of information that they can use.
Again, trying to hook up with Coach Joe Susan of the Bucknell Bison. We'll try and get him squared away in just a few moments. And we'll continue with more of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills. You'll also find them right there in Northumberland on Water Street.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Let the sizzling summer sales event get you fired up with a 2011 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan with a new set of tires, $12,491. 2005 Dodge Dakota four-door quad cab, $12,995. 2008 Honda Accord four-door LX, $13,998. 2009 Dodge Journey four-wheel drive SXT, $14,995. 2011 Ford Escape, four-wheel drive XLT, $16,994. 2010 Ford Explorer, Eddie Bauer Edition, $24,995. And a like-new 2012 Ford F-150 XLT, just $33,000.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24-7 at sunburymotors.com. At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Shopping for insurance to save money is not an easy thing. What if I told you there's good news for Pennsylvania residents searching to save money on homeowners, auto insurance, RVs, motorcycles, and more? What if I told you you didn't have to sacrifice local personal service? Then call or visit online the Kratzer Insurance Agency in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, serving the area now for 50 years.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. We are proud to offer Safeco Insurance at a very competitive rate. Some customers have saved as much as 50% off their premium.
Safeco has been around since 1923 and in 2008 became part of the Liberty Mutual Insurance, a name well known and trusted in the insurance industry. Start saving and be safe with Safeco and Kratzer Insurance.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr with my guest co-host Doug Birdsong, filling in for Steve Jones, who is at an undisclosed location. And despite what Buhner said yesterday, it is not the basement.
Well, now maybe that's a good place to hide sometimes in the summertime.
I don't think he was alluding to hiding, no. I'm not quite sure, but I got a funny feeling he wasn't alluding to hiding. Kevin Herr along with Doug Birdsong. Actually, joining us in just a few minutes will be Dave Ritchie. He's going to talk a little Lewisburg football in the next hour. Dave, the color analyst for 100.9 The Valley and the broadcast of Lewisburg football again this season. So we'll talk a little high school football in the next few minutes as well as...
That's Dave's phone.
Did somebody start playing the piano in there or what?
Sometimes I am known to tickle the twine or tickle the whatever they are.
Ivies? Yes, that too.
Yes.
But again, trying to catch up with Coach Joe Susan of the Bucknell Bison. But one of the things we can talk about here, in case Joe's schedule just changed up a little bit, is the depth right now. It's young, but there's a lot of depth at running back right now. And that's one of the things I think I noticed in the spring game, Doug, was the variety of backs that could in. I mean, Charles Thompson's probably the guy that's going to be the leader. He's the one that has a start right now. I think, as a matter of fact, he's probably the only one that has officially started a game at running back and has some experience because he's come in a lot of situations and had some big carries for the Bison offensively. But there's a lot of quick backs here that are young that still have some development there.
Oh, you're exactly right, Kevin. Matt DeMauro, Brian Regan, both those guys are small. Listed about 5'7", 5'8", and they are every bit of that, whereas Charles Thompson listed at 5'9", but I think he's a little taller than that, 2'10". He's a solid individual, but it's interesting with DeMauro and Regan. They both are listed about 190, 185 in that neck of the woods, and they are also every bit of that. They are all muscle, and they have some speed, and it's really interesting. Even though they aren't the biggest backs, those two guys, Charles Thompson a little bit bigger, of course, Lehigh in their heyday, and then certainly they've had a lot of different heydays, but early 2000 heyday, they had a lot of running backs that were kind of small, that they would kind of hide behind the line, and a lot of times you would think they'd be stopped for no gain or a little gain, and boom, they'd pop to the outside, scrum in the middle, pop to the outside, and go for 15, 20 yards or a touchdown. I think that's what we may see here because, number one, the offensive line for Bucknell much bigger than what it had been. Certainly last year's was big. Prior to that, though, with the offense that the Bison ran, it was more based on smaller, quicker offensive linemen. Now, this is the kind of style offense that Coach Joe Susan had at Rutgers and always has wanted to have, whether it's Princeton at his earlier stint at Bucknell or now as the head coach of the Bison.
Brandon Wesley back at quarterback. Again, here's a guy that has a lot of starts under his belt. Really started to come on last year and really look comfortable in the offense. As the season went on, looked like he was starting to make the decision a little bit better on when to run, when to throw. Early in his career, it was almost like a run first, throw second in certain situations. And now I think he's gotten more comfortable with being able to check off the receivers and go down the list a little bit quicker and still make a very solid pass and not necessarily look for the home run, but look for the first down.
If Coach Joe Susan does join us, I'm sure that's one thing he's going to point out, Kevin, is the fact that during the spring, Brandon may have gained more in that, you know, 20 practice amount of time than any player that maybe he's had here at Bucknell is in his head coaching stint. And even though he was going into his senior year and the ending up his junior year, I think we saw a maturity in Brandon that we hadn't seen prior, and you brought that out. I think we saw a little bit of it towards the end of last year. You know, Bucknell won two of their last three games. They only won three games all year long, but the offense seemed to perform a little bit better. That Georgetown game certainly was an anomaly. I mean, only 3 points put up, but Georgetown, a very good defensive team, is down in D.C., et cetera. But in two of the three games where Bucknell won, against Bryant and against Fordham, they put up almost 25 points in both of those games. So I think the offense was starting to click. The defense had been very good all year long, albeit giving up over 40 points in back-to-back games against Lehigh and Colgate. But, of course, Colgate coming in had averaged about 55 points a game.
But a lot of that, Doug, was the fact that Bucknell wasn't sustaining drives on offense and the defense was on the field a lot. You know, how good – you look at statistics, and sometimes it can be skewed, and I think that was the case with Bucknell defensively last year. There's a reason that so many guys were on the Patriot League list on Media Day that were defensive players for the Bison. What was it, five or six?
Five total, one on offense, yeah. Travis Friend, fullback, but four on the defensive side of the ball.
I mean, that really tells you the respect that they've gotten across the Patriot League as a defense. And you mentioned Travis Friend. Wow, what a great fullback. I mean, he is a nice find at the FCS level. And I think a lot of, if BCS schools were looking at this, or FBS schools rather, were looking at this, they're going, wow, why did we miss him?
Well, the interesting thing about Travis is, if you look at him, if you stand next to him, he could be an offensive or defensive lineman at the FCS level, not the FBS level, but at the FCS level, no doubt. Certainly he could be a fullback at the FBS level. He has good hands. He rarely ever makes a mistake. He's a very good blocker. He's mental, you know, in terms of he knows the game of football, knows where he needs to be. He isn't flashy, certainly, but the offense that Coach Susan likes to run with Brian Bussard as the offensive coordinator, he doesn't necessarily need flashy. He needs consistent. And I think Travis Friend is almost, if you looked in the dictionary, as they say, for the definition of consistency, you'd probably see a picture of Travis.
Well, we talked about it before the break. The fact that Coach Susan has said many times here on the Steve Jones Show that, well, we need a few more birthdays. Well, he needed a few more birthdays on the offensive line, needed a few more games experience. I mean, last year, starting the season at Marist, was it one start on the entire offensive line? And now you've got a lot more starts on that offensive line, and it's pretty much the same offensive line as last year, so you got a lot of cohesion there. And you also have guys that have a lot more confidence and understand things a little bit better. That's where I think this Bucknell offense really will see leaps and bounds in improvement, is on that offensive line.
Well, and not only that, but you're going to have a guy most likely step in at one of the tackle slots who didn't get a ton of playing time last year, did towards the end of his freshman year, but 6'6", 325, Rami Cassette.
Listen, I'm sorry, I got to cut you off real quick and tell you a quick story. Spring game, I'm on the sidelines. He literally ran by me and I felt small. That does not happen.
He is. And, wow, and believe me, he's lost a lot of weight from last year. He was about 380 at one point. And he has great feet. You know, they always look at offensive linemen, whether you have great footwork. He has
size 14s,
feet.
Too.
Well, you know, they are big feet, but great footwork, too. And yet, he has lost the weight to help him be nimble. And he's listed, at least going into the preseason, as one of the starting tackles. So, you know, he's going to come in and get a start, which pushes one of last year's starters to a backup position, most likely. But what that does is that gives you experience, that gives you depth at the second team level. And that's another thing that I think this Bison team has, maybe more than any of Joe Susan's team, a lot of depth.
I can't remember any time where I've talked and during a broadcast about the long snapper more than I do during a Bucknell game. And that's not because he is doing an outstanding job snapping the ball, but he made a couple of tackles last year. How is that possible?
Well, certainly a lot of times the long snapper is a guy who actually is not going to be covered. Sometimes they'll have a guy over him to try and hit him immediately as he snaps the ball to kind of throw off his timing. But theoretically, you know, he could be the one guy not blocked, and he can get down the field. A lot of times, Jeff Goyette, who you're talking about, Bucknell's long snapper, who Coach Susan says is the best not only in the league but in the country. He has that much confidence in that young man, who is one of the three captains this year, too, I might add, Kevin. You know, he can really do it all. He has been very consistent, again, what you want from a long snapper, but he certainly has also helped out in other areas, not only snapping the ball the way you want, precision, quickness, timing, but then to get down the field and help out on the tackle, that doesn't hurt either.
And Dave Ritchie, you can attest to this. What is it that Coach Hort always tells us Friday nights? What is the lost art in football? Kicking and long snapping.
Well, it comes from one of the best long snappers ever to live, Dick Hort. Not only went both ways at the University of Buffalo when he played, but he was also the long snapper. And it is a lost art. I played for Coach Hort, and he was very good at explaining how to do it. But to actually do what he told you to do is another different story. And you're right, Kevin. He always said that. It's a lost art.
Yeah, he said nobody goes out in the field anymore in long snaps. That's what we used to do all the time. We used to sit out there in long snap. Now they play video games.
Well, and you know, oddly enough, you can find your niche in the National Football League if you're a good long snapper.
Well, that's true. There's a special teams division now that wasn't normally there and drafted over maybe, I'd say, even a decade ago. You know, they didn't draft special teams players that often. They were just whoever they had on the field. That's not necessarily the case anymore. Doug Birdsong in the studio. Dave Ritchie also in studio with us. We'll talk more with him about Lewisburg football coming up in the next hour. This is the Steve Jones Show, available online, stevejonesshow.com, Facebook, Steve Jones Show.